Hello, listeners. Welcome to CQUT 90.3 FM. My name is Katerina, and I will be discussing with you the upcoming demonstration organized by the Coalition Against Psychiatric Assault, or COPPA, against electroshock that is happening in Toronto next Saturday, March 16th. COPPA is specifically targeting the American Psychiatric Association that is claimed to be constantly misleading the public about shock therapy. A massive epileptic seizure that is a result of shock therapy is believed to be causing brain bleed and cell death, leading to memory loss and cognitive deficits. There are a number of other adverse effects such as stroke, heart attack, epilepsy, and often death in elderly more than others. Related to this, the collective Action Autonomie in Montreal also held a rally opposing electroshock on May 9th, on the eve of Mother's Day. L'Action Autonomie provides statistics indicating that 50% of electroshock treatment is applied to women who are 50 and older, 41% to those who are over 65, and around 10% to those who are 80 and older. The protest that is held on March 16th in Toronto is inspired by the work of electroshock survivors and is organized internationally in 25 cities at the same time. The demonstration's goal is to shed light on the hidden consequences of the electroconvulsive therapy, more often than not happening without consent of the patient. It strives to challenge the claim made by the American Psychiatric Association that electroshock is a safe and effective evidence-based medical treatment. A disturbing part of the picture is thousands of contradictory accounts provided by the survivors who report loss of personal knowledge, memory troubles, and loss of other special skills. Today we're speaking with Don White, a psychiatric survivor of insulin sarcoma shock and an anti-psychiatry activist, something that Don has been involved in for over 30 years. Don is also a member of the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty. He has kindly agreed to discuss the upcoming demonstration with us and share some insight. Hello, Don.
Thank you very much for joining us today.
I realize you must be looking forward to the demonstration in Toronto, giving its direct, powerful message. Could you tell us what is the specific importance of such protests and why they are significant based on your personal experience?
Well, it has world significance because millions of people, as we speak, are being prescribed and undergo electroshock or ECT, so-called electroconvulsive therapy, because it always damages the brain and causes permanent memory loss, especially to women and the elderly. This is a crime against humanity that is perpetrated by psychiatry for over 70 years.
I just wanted to get it clear because I'm sure many of our listeners don't know all the peculiarities of what the psychiatric shock treatment is.
Well, first of all, it's not a treatment. I don't call it a treatment. It's the psychiatrist do. It's an unscientific, unproven procedure that delivers 150 to 400 volts of electricity to the human brain from 1 to 4 seconds, and most of its victims are women, are elderly women, and I have statistics to prove it. It's an ageist and sexist rhythm procedure because in the very process, this procedure discriminates and targets the elderly and women.
Also, is there a consent issue involved?
There is no consent possible. I'm saying that these consent forms, whether you're talking about Montreal or Toronto or Vancouver, are seriously flawed and misinformed. It should be misinformed consent because in virtually all ECT consent forms, the common risks of brain damage and permanent or irreversible memory loss are never mentioned or minimized. And this is serious because in any informed consent, you have to tell the patient the known risks and alternatives, and the risks of brain damage and memory loss, permanent memory loss, as I just said, are routinely, commonly left out. So when you sign this form, it's a sham. It's a lie that there's no real informed consent to electroshock and psychiatry. What I just do is supported by many health professionals, including psychologists and psychiatrists.
Okay. Do you find there has been more use of electroshock recently compared to several decades ago? Or what do you
Well,
yes.
I think the general, I don't have exact figures for each year, mainly because it's very difficult to get accurate and up-to-date statistics from the provincial governments. But my impression it has is that electroshock not only is continuing, but it has somewhat increased.
Okay. And speaking about the demonstration on Saturday, what do you think is the significance that this demonstration is organized by electroshock survivors, and how is this influencing public perception?
That's excellent. It's the way to empower us, because there's a myth out there. There's a public myth that psychiatric survivors can't do anything or they're incompetent and you shouldn't pay attention. I think that's great. And this is a very, very historic event on May 16th, because there are simultaneous protests being held on the same day in over 30 cities in 6 to 8 different countries. And it's extremely significant. This is a breakthrough in the resistance to this so-called treatment. This is a breakthrough, and it is historic. There has never been a protest happening in so many cities worldwide on the same day. And that's because psychiatric survivors are getting much more organized. And not just psychiatric survivors, which includes, of course, shock survivors, but allies and supporters.
I see. That's excellent to hear. Also, as far as I know, you work tightly with other survivor activists to abolish electroshock activity. Can you give us more information on that? And what do you consider your biggest accomplishment in that direction?
I can say I'm very proud that I've been active in the movement for the last 30-some years, along with Dr. Bonnie Burstow, whom I hope you talk with. She and myself and others have launched a number of protests, including nonviolent civil disobedience in the 80s. And I certainly support, and I've been in the United States, where I was arrested a couple times, along with 9 or 10 others in New York and Syracuse, while we were peacefully protesting in front of shock mills or those hospitals which are known to give a lot of electroshock.
Okay.
So I'm very proud that I'm still involved in the struggle, but it's just a continuing struggle. It just never stops.
Of course. You mentioned that you were arrested during one of your demonstrations. Was it just for a peaceful protest, or what was the cause of the arrest?
Oh, the arrest, because we were chaining ourselves to the front doors of a hospital in New York, Gracie Square, in 1983. So the police arrested us and then let us go a few hours later.
Okay.
And here in Toronto in 1982, there were 16 American shock survivors that peacefully were protesting inside the lobby of the Sheraton Hotel, which will be in front of on Saturday. They were all arrested.
Okay. Thank you for sharing with us.
So thank you, Katerina.
Thank you very much. So if our listeners want to follow your activity, would you tell us where they should go? Maybe somewhere online?
Well, can check the website of the Coalition Against Psychiatric Assault.com, and I'll repeat it. Coalition Against Psychiatric Assault.com. You should check the website.
I hope that our audience will be more informed. Thank you for your time.